You got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. If you're from another country, you say Isaiah. I kind of like that, Isaiah. But Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah or Isaiah chapter 1, I want to read a couple of scriptures here. Starting with verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Come now, let us reason together. Now stop for a minute. In other words, the Lord wants to understand why you feel the way you feel. He said, let's talk about it instead of just being some dictator. The Lord will listen to you if you will talk to him. He said, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Now, most people always focus on the bad part. I just focus on the good part. Because if I focus on the good part will get bigger than the bad part and will consume the bad part. You see that? He said, though they be, your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now this verse 19 and 20, I want you to read this with me here. He says, if you are willing and obedient, notice those two words, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Notice the statement, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. For years, I thought God promised us things. But I'm on the board of regents of Oral Roberts University, and I was asked by Chancellor Oral Roberts and President Richard Roberts if I would preach to the student body, and I called it academic day. There were a lot of theologians there. They were homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological, which impressed me because I'm a Cajun. Actually, I was born in Algiers, Louisiana. I'm a West Bank boy. You understand? I mean, it's just where I am. You know what I mean? And I went over to the east side. I remember my mama said, don't go on the other side. There's some crazy people on the east side. Stay on the west side. Yeah, we're one city divided by a river, kind of like St. Paul and Minneapolis. It's amazing. But I'll never forget the day that I was there that the Lord gave me a revelation that shook me to my shoes. And there was this theologian. I was the last person to speak. There were about 5,500 students there, I think it was. And this theologian got up in front of me, and he was ministering for a few minutes. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. I thought, I'm going to write that down. Glory to God, over 7,000. I thought that was good. And the Lord spoke something to me. He said, they're promises to him, but they're prophecies to me. I said, what'd you say, Jesus? He said, Jesse, they're promises to you and him, but they're prophecies to me. He says, my covenant, Psalms 89:34, will I not break nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. He said, if you can ever get me to say something, I'll do what I say. He said, I ain't promising nothing. I'm prophesying. Then I began to look at the scripture, prophesying. What do you mean? And if you lose Luke 6:38, for example, you hear that an offering teaching, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you. But you know, I realized that we only got one word in that verse is give, then God take over. God goes slap crazy in the verse. He says, give, and he says, and it shall be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you. Sound like he prophesying to me. He said, everything I'm saying is not a promise, but a prophecy. Then he said this. He said, my word shall not return unto me void, but it's very possible my word can return unto you void. Now that kind of confused me. I said, well, Lord, if your word that doesn't return unto you void, why would your word return unto me void? He said, you don't believe it like I do. I said, what I thought I did, and I'll give you a prime example. How many of you have had children? Hold your hand up. You had kids. You told them to go to bed. Time for y'all to go to bed. Y'all got to go to school in the morning. Okay, mom. Okay, daddy. Now y'all go up there and go to bed and go to sleep. Okay. But no. You know children can't sleep unless they've been beat twice. Got to threaten them with your life. Don't make me come up there. I'll kill every one of you. Right? Now, why didn't they go to bed and go to sleep? Well, they're just rebellious. They can't be rebellious. They're your seed. They're your children. They can't be rebellious. Why didn't they go to bed? They didn't believe your word the way you did. Here's a prime example. The Bible said in the book of Peter, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. And a lot of people say, well, I'm standing on the word of God and believing for my healing. Huh? And when the Lord get ready, he going to heal me. What? See, you don't believe the word of God the way God believes it. Now, I'm not telling you to deny sickness. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about deny its right. If Jesus took your infirmity, why would you want it? If he bore your sickness, why should you have it? Now, either this thing works or it doesn't work. Something got to happen here. Then I realize I've got to get to my point where I believe God's word the way he believes it. And he never back off anything he says. So he says this, and if you look at this, this is actually a call to repentance. Now, Isaiah 1:19 is what I want to deal with. This very simple, and I want to expository preach. I just want to deal with this verse. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the prophecy of the Lord hath spoken. Not a promise, but a prophetic utterance. The title of this message tonight is This Way or That Way or God's Way. They got a lot of people telling you go this way. They got a lot of people telling you go that way. But which way is God's way? You know, I've been amazed about South Louisiana. I've lived here not all my life because I'm still living. Glory to God. But it seemed like people that made the signs must have had their arm lost in a war. Because I don't think there's anybody in government got a left arm because there's no left turn. Especially in the city of New Orleans, you got to keep going and going. No left turn. Why, nobody can I go left? You can go right, but you just can't go left. You got to keep going until eventually you have to turn around. And then when you think you can turn around, it says no U-turn. I don't know who figured that out, but they need to go to school. Now, I want to deal with this. If you be willing and you be obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Why do people have a problem eating the good of the land? Jesus said you need to repent if you're not willing and obedient to do so. Because if you don't, this is what's going to happen. I know he's talking to Israel, but he's also talking to us. God trying to get something to you instead of get something from you. When you realize this, that on your best day, you can't impress God with your wealth. He's walking on gold streets. We got asphalt streets. You know what I'm saying? With holes in them this big. It don't work. You see what I'm saying? He said it's either this way or that way or God's way. So I decided to take God's way. Little did I realize of all the criticism would come to me by walking God's way. Oh, because God's way is not a big wide road. And you have to have an ear to hear. Because faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. It don't come by heard. It come by hearing. Hearing. Continues. I'm talking about all the time. Not heard. I heard 40 years ago somebody got here. That's great, but I'm not there. I'm now. So it's either this way or that way or God's way. Now write this down if you're taking notes. We need to learn that we owe Christ the service of our mind. I realize that I owe the service of my mind to Christ if I'm going to walk his way. Instead of going this way or that way, I'm going to go his way. But the only way I can do that is to give him the service of my mind. We need to learn that we owe Christ the service of our mind. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, and I'll just paraphrase it. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know, not God, God already knows, that you may know that good, that acceptable, and that perfect will of God. See, once you understand that, it makes no difference what anybody else says, because now you're walking God's way instead of this way or that way. Yeah, but everybody's going that way. Don't make no difference. Is that the way of God? It's like one time I went down a one-way street and a policeman pulled me, he said, you're on a one-way street. I said, I'm only going one way. He said, yeah, but it's the wrong way. See, you can go one way, but be the wrong way. But if you go God's way, you're going to wind up where you're supposed to be. He said, now, if you be willing and obedient, you'd be surprised how many people refuse to be blessed because they're afraid. And it's all based on fear that somebody might say something. I had a preacher tell me this the other day. He said, Brother Jesse, you got nice jewelry. I said, well, thank you. He said, does that hurt your offerings? I said, what did you say? He said, you know, if I had a ring like that or something, I wouldn't wear it because that might hurt my offering. I said, have your offerings been hurt? He said, yeah. I said, I could tell. See, your faith was working for you. What are you trying to hide? I had a Jewish lawyer. I was at a jewelry store, a year or so ago. And he said, I can't believe that you put on that television about that Citation 10 aircraft. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it'd be the third jet that I own. Now, don't get mad at me. You can't get to New York when I want to get to New York. I don't mind flying commercial. I went to Delta Airlines. I know them guys with the red coats. And I said, can you fly this schedule? They said, that's impossible. I've been down in 3 airplane crashes. I decided to buy my own plane. Because I know if it's going to work or not. Now, I don't want to learn how to fly it. I want to learn how to land it. That's what I'm interested in. I don't want to learn to fly. I want to learn to land. Because if both those boys pass out, I need to have some education. I need to have somebody talk me down. And I will tell you something. At 39,000 feet, if you a Baptist and something go wrong, you'll speak in tongues. It won't bother you at all. Hallelujah. And if you're not Catholic, you will pray the rosary. You can be Pentecostal. I ain't kidding. Because something wrong when you're up that high. How do you know that? I've had a decompression at that right. You know what that means? You lose all pressure. That means you're 72 degrees inside of an aircraft cabin and you're 60 below zero outside at 39,000 feet flying 500 miles an hour. You know what happens? You hear this, and everything ices up and you go, and you got 5 to 7 seconds to put that mask on or you gonna die. Now, I don't care who you are. A Buddhist will say, Jesus. Now, I've been down on an airplane. I don't mean this to sound rude. And there were a lot of people of all different faiths, which I respect. But, buddy, when I heard this, I'll never forget that announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for heavy flame and smoke. Oh, Jesus. Heavy flame and smoke. I never heard nobody say, Buddha. I never heard nobody say, Muhammad. You know what I heard? Jesus. Now, I'm not being critical of Muhammad. And I'm not being critical of Buddha, but I'm just telling you what happened. I had a guy look at me and said, I should have went to church. I should have went to church. I said, well, you ain't got much time. You better go quick right now. Things were tough. So when the Lord told me he was going to give me a jet, oh, Jesus, you think I would shout. But you see, because I had been taught to fear that. This is years and years ago. I thought, oh, Jesus, what are people going to say? Oh, God, how am I going to explain that? How that's going. And all the Lord was asking, if you be willing and you be obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But if you know, see, I realized I never thought I'd get out of Louisiana. I never thought I'd get out of Algiers. Going to Chalmette was a big place for me. We were Cajun people. Let me tell you, I love Cajun people because if we ever have a depression, we ain't going to starve to death. We eat stuff in ditches. We can find it, we can boil it, we can cook it, and sell it to somebody. I never forget I was in Texas. And you know, a lot of people think we Cajun people are swinging from trees, you know, like gorillas or something, you know what I mean? Especially if you go down like to Cut Off and go to them and they talk like that. Man, I'm gonna throw you something. They go, you're gonna what? What time it is? You mean what time is it? That's what I said, what time it is. And the Cajun just forgot what he was supposed to say. What am I supposed to say here? What? Texas. They was eating crawfish. He said, are you a Cajun? I said, I think so. Because they keep them secrets in the family. Because if you go back far enough in my family tree, you'll find everybody, every color. Because we marry anybody we could get our hands on. He said, man, y'all suck them heads on that crawfish, don't you? I said, yeah. I said, so much to make the eyes click. You know, he kind of laughed at that. He's trying to go this way. I was going that way, but God said, let's go his way. He said, well, you know, these Cajun people are not too educated. I said, oh, so you don't think we're very smart? And I could feel my Tabasco sauce coming up my legs. I'm talking New Iberia, what's coming out of my skin. I thought, who's this fool? I said, well, let me ask you a question since we're stupid. Meshai, how much you pay for that crawfish? He said, we paid $7 a pound. I said, oh, that's amazing to me. We went to a ditch and caught it, drove it to Texas and sold it to you for $7 a pound. Ooh, he didn't like that. Don't get mad at me, Chuck, but they're not all like that. If you be willing and obedient. So we need to learn that we owe Christ the service of our mind. And that is in Romans 12, 1 and 2, be not conformed to this world. Now, the reason why I don't do the things the world does, because the Lord told me don't be conformed to it. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that I might know that good, acceptable, and perfect or matured work or will of God in my life. So I owe God that service. How many times I said, I've asked, you know, when you're a Cajun, you don't eat too healthy. You talk about it in front of people, but you lie like a dog. You say, you know, we eat broccoli and broil food. You know, we broil our food. We don't put too much butter. Go open up your refrigerator. They got grease this thick on everything you got in there. You know, because we like the flavor of it, you know. And people always trying when I'm out there, they want to cook me a Cajun dish. And they're from Arkansas. I'll tell you a story, true story. I'll never forget. I went to North Louisiana. And this lady said, oh, Brother Jesse, we know you're a Cajun from South Louisiana. She was real nice. I want you to come to my house. I made a gumbo. And I heard the voice of the Lord. Don't do that. Don't do that. But you know, how can you say no? They can see me. They can't see him, but they can see me. I said, well, really, ma'am? And the pastor said, well, we'll go. Thank you. I thought, oh, Jesus. And I knew I could tell when I walked into the house how that gumbo smelled, that it wasn't worth the flip. When I looked at it, it looked like a duck dove in there and then dove out of it, washed off his feet and took off. True story. So I'm sitting there, and her husband could tell he was a sinner. He didn't want me there. But she's part of the church, you know, she was a strong member of that church. She probably brought all the traveling preachers. This was years ago. So I'm sitting there, and there's the man and his little boy and a dog just looking at me. And she put a bowl of gumbo in front of me. She said, taste it, Brother Jesse, you're going to really like it. So I took that bowl of gumbo. And I noticed that the preacher, her husband just looking at me. Which is kind of hard to eat with somebody just looking at you. You can just feel it. What the preacher do to my house, you know? So I took my spoon. And you know, a good Cajun, he don't like no teaspoon. He want a big spoon. He like a, you know, so he can put his potato salad in there. You know, running around in that gumbo, glory to God. Get some of that little white film on the top. We don't know what it is, but you know, it's just good. Oh, I'm going to hurry up. Let's go eat somewhere and forget this message. So when I take, I'm telling you what, boy, it was terrible. It's like a duck dove in there. And I go, God almighty. And I heard the Lord didn't say, but the scripture said, eat what's set before you. I said, what if I've set it behind me? Instead of set it before me, the man don't have to eat it. So the man just looking at me like that. Now here comes the question. You know what's going to happen? You like it, Brother Jesse? Now I want to lie. I said, I'm going to lie. And the Lord said, tell her the truth. I said, oh, Jesus, we can't do that. We can't. Why, either this way or that way or my way. What are you going to do? I said, God, it's rude to tell her that this is trash. I can't tell her that. They invite me to the house. The pastor's right there. And her husband looking at me. Just like that. She said, do you like it, Brother Jesse? And the Lord said, tell her the truth. It's not this way, not that way. It's my way. I said, ma'am, this is trash. Her husband take the spoon. Bam, he throw it down. I'm thinking he's going to hit me. He said, you are the only preacher ever told the truth about that trashy gumbo. Exact words. He said, I'm going to your service tonight because every preacher's lied like a dog. He said, honey, this is the worst gumbo in the world. Never cook it. Even the dog don't want. I looked at the dog. You can see him going. That man came to my service that night and got born again. Because I told the truth about a trashy gumbo. Now, that's a true story. Now, I could have went this way. I could have went that way, which is where I wanted to go. But I had to go God's way. If you be willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. She said, honey, how come you didn't tell me? I didn't want to hurt your feelings. He said, that's why I didn't believe in Christians. Everyone came here and ate that trash. They said it was good. We all trash. She asked her son, the little boy. He said, mom, don't never cook it again, mama. What are you saying? I'm saying willingness and obedience works like invisible laws which penetrate the surface of life. Write that now. I'm talking about not this way or that way, but God's way. This way, that way. Oh no, God's way. These, when you give God the service of your mind, this willingness and obedience to do what he wants you to do works like invisible laws which penetrate the surface of life. You got the more powerful things of life are the things you can't see. It's like people say, "Whoa, did you see that hurricane? Yeah. Did you see that wind? Man, nobody ever saw the wind. You see the effects of the wind. You don't see the wind. The wind's invisible. You just see the effects of it." Well, it's the same way. People, a lot of times, so many people want to see something. If you want people to get born again, they got to see the effects of Christianity in your life. They have to see the willingness and obedience to say, "Not my will, but thine be done." And that can only be done through a transformed mind, which is the soul of man, the mind, the will, and the emotion of man. Do you see that? You have to see the effects of that. You don't actually see it because the evidence of it is not seen, but you see the effects of it. The reason why I'm a blessed man financially is because you see the effects of it. You don't see my faith. It's invisible. Now, faith is the sum of things hoped for, the evidence things not seen. You see the effects of what it has done in my life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So willingness and obedience work like invisible laws which penetrate the surface of life. You see, now a lot of people say, "Well, I did that one time." No, no. The willing and obedient life does not consist of isolated acts. See, a lot of people think because they've done it once, they'll never have to do it again. No, no. The willingness and obedience should never just become isolated acts. It should create an atmosphere. Why? Because it's a necessity. It is the breathing of a new existence. You see, I realize that I create my future. I am the architect of my life. I will determine tomorrow whether I have a good day or a bad day. It ain't got anything to do with circumstances whatsoever. I don't care what happens. It's up to me. Do I appeal? Do I grab that and make that hurt my feelings? Or do I say, "No, today I'm going to have a good day"? Now, me and Kathy, we hardly ever argue. We've been married at the time of this preaching 35 years. The only time we do argue is over ministry. We'll argue because this ministry is running 24/7. So a lot of time I tell her, I say, "Listen, at 5 o'clock, we ain't talking about Jesse the Planet's ministers or Covenant Church or nothing like that. We're going to just talk about what's going on in the house." Now, there's sometimes she's had a tough day and I'll get in the car. "Let me tell you something." I say, "Woman, listen to me, woman. We ain't talking about that. What time is it?" "What time does that watch say?" She said, "It's 5:05. I said, "I'm your husband. I'm not a CEO. We'll deal with that tomorrow or we'll deal with that Monday." But you know, sometimes, you know, you got your fuse hanging outside the door. You got the window down. You just want somebody to just light it. You know what I'm talking about. Can you imagine what policemen hear every day? The lies and the stuff that they hear. And boy, you want to make somebody mad, boy, you just get a little road rage. Somebody pull in front of you. What? What? You act stupid. You start talking like as if they can hear you. That's the craziest thing I've seen in my life. Now, some of y'all get real nasty. I guess you're deaf. You use sign language or something. I don't know. Shouldn't use sign language. Kathy did that the other day going up on 310. She said, "How come he going so slow?" I said, "I don't know. I'll bump him with the bumping. You can ask him. I don't know why he's going so slow, but we can't pass him up on the curb here." "You're always in the wrong lane. You're always in the wrong lane. How come my lane's always wrong and your lane's always right? Why is that?" You know, God created Adam and he went, "I can do better." And he created Eve. Do you know the Bible actually said when he put him to sleep, it's called a prophetic sleep? It wasn't a promise of a mate. It was a prophecy of a mate. It's called a prophetic sleep. He literally went into a prophetic sleep. And when he woke up, he done lost his authority. You know where we would be if God hadn't created Eve? In the Garden of Eden. Come on, man. Help me out here. Okay. Just a little joke. I'm sorry. I went that way instead of that this way. It's this way or that way or God's way. So the willing and obedient life does not consist of isolated acts of faith. It creates an atmosphere. What does that mean? It's a necessity. It is the breathing of a new existence. See, God compels no one to accept his will or mercy. He wants you to accept it. He said, if you be willing and obedient. Now, why are people mad at me? Because I'm living good. Let me tell you why I'm living good. I'm willing and obedient. Kathy calls it living large because she's supercharged. Okay, well, why is that happening? Because she got more faith. No, she's just willing and obedient. And God said, if you don't, then you're going to struggle. Then you're going to have problems. It all has to do with willingness and obedience to the word of the Lord. When you understand that God compels no one to accept his will or mercy. People who disobey God's invitation to be willing and obedient destroy themselves. I've had a lot of people say, I don't believe that stuff. I said, well, you don't have to. Then they get mad at me. You're not going to try to convince me? No, I can't convince you. Because you see, I don't have a right to break your will. And I'll tell you something, God won't do it neither. It's up to you. You can rightfully choose this or walk away from it. You hear what I'm saying? It's either this way, that way, or God's way. He said, if you'd be willing and obedient. So I decided I would eat the good of the land. And the Lord, now I'm going to say something real radical here. See, we've been told all our lives that God would meet our needs, and that is the truth. But what we've left off is the other stuff. He said, if you delight yourself, therefore, you'll get the what? Desires of whose heart? Not God's heart, your heart. Now, when you're looking at a mountain that's in front of you, he said, if you would say to this mountain, be thou removed. The problem with the church world, they want God to talk to the mountain. It's not his mountain. It's your mountain. He said, if you would say to that mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. So you got to tell it where to go. Not doubt in your heart, believe the things what you say, not what God say, what you say shall come to pass. You're going to have what you say. It all has to do with you. But you can't accept that if you're fear-based in your life. Because automatically, you're living for others instead of living for God. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? So people who disobey God's invitation to be willing and obedient destroy themselves. Now, I want to say this statement. Abundance. Everybody say abundance. Abundance in every area of our life is a sign to others that we serve a good God. God is a good God. Do you realize how much Oral Roberts was criticized in the 50s when he said God's a good God? Because God wanted everybody to be a bad guy. You ever watch Larry King? He always asked the same question to every preacher. How come God don't stop that? Now, let me tell you, Mr. King, if you're watching this tonight, let me tell you why God, because you have the power to do so. He gave mankind dominion over all that he created. Gorillas are not polluting this place. Chimpanzees are not polluting this place. Man is polluting this place. Well, why don't God stop it? Because you're in charge of it. He said he gave us dominion of all the works of his hand. We're the one that stopped this. Not God, us. Because we have that right to do so. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So abundance in every part of your life is a sign to others that we serve a good God. Now a lot of people say, well, God won't bless you. Psalms 35 verse 27 said, let the Lord be magnified. Magnified. These are magnifiers. Let the Lord be magnified who hath what? Who hath what? Let me say, who hath pleasure. Pleasure, everybody say pleasure, in the prosperity of his servant. Now that's Psalms 35, 27. If he had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant in the Old Testament, how much more does he have pleasure in the prosperity of his sons in the New Testament? Because you're not a servant no more. You're a son, an heir with the Father, and a joint heir with Jesus. So why wouldn't you accept what rightfully belongs to you? The only way it's going to happen is if you're willing and obedient. The number one question asked me in the interview is, how much money you make? First thing he said, how much money do you make? And I tell him, a lot. I ain't gonna lie about it. Glory to God. You're looking at a blessed man. That ain't my fault. What do you want me to do? It's he that gave me power to get well. I'm not bragging on that because the best thing I can do for the poor is not to be poor. That I'm able to help. I'm able to do something. Oh, but I don't owe you a living. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? And I made up my mind. I am not going to hide anything. I've had many opportunities to fail in my life. I just don't take them. I don't take them. I've wanted to take them sometimes. Sometimes it was easier to fail than it was to succeed. But because I spoke that word, the Bible said I swear to my own hurt. Yeah, yeah. I have to do what my word said. You can't separate God from his word. And you're not going to separate Jesse from his word. I know some people don't understand me. I'm a radical, been a radical from day one. I know I'm different. But that's not my fault. I never had humor in my life before I was born again. I'm not a funny man. People say, oh, you a riot. No. If you go on vacation with me, I mean, I'll say something funny once in a while. But when I get behind that pulpit, something happened. Then I realized a prophet of God said, you know what? My people are not in joy. And God gave me joy so much that it aggravates some people. Then when I started getting blessed, people prayed, David, oh, bless Jesse Duplantis. He worked so hard. So I got blessed, brother. I started getting blessed. Lord, did. Then they got mad at me because their prayer came to pass. My ministry's sexually pure. My ministry's financially pure. If there's anything wrong with this ministry, I don't know there is, because I hire people to help me in things that I don't know legally. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an attorney. I don't know all the lands. I don't know every time a legislature come out with something that changes the law. You got to have people to help you in those areas. You see what I'm saying? But I made up my mind. I'm not perfect in a moment, but I can be holy in a moment. Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You can't be perfect because that takes time, but you can be holy in a moment. I made up my mind that I would not sin against my wife or sin against God. Now, I'm just as much man as any other man in here. I ain't the ugliest man in the world. I get hit on every once in a while. Can you believe it? Can you believe it that me, white-headed old fool like me, get hit on? I'm talking about girls, I could be their daddy. And I know why they're hitting on me. They think I got some money. They're right. But that ain't my money. That's Kathy's money. I ain't touching that. Because I mean, if I ever messed up, you wouldn't have to put a scandal against me. You're going to have to bury me. Kathy said, oh, you say, bam, boom, she killed me in a second. I think she killed me before I had a chance to repent. See, but Kathy, is this way or that? No, it's Kathy's way. This is it, buddy. This is it. I said, that's fine with me. I made up my mind. I got born again. You know, and the people say, well, you know, as you get older, you got to watch those things kind of get you. They don't get me. Why? I'm not bragging on myself. Why? I don't live to myself. I let the Christ in me live for me. Let me tell you something. If you're a young person, you're in a car and you done fogged up the windows, and your mom and daddy did the same thing too. Boy, and you getting close to doing something you shouldn't do, why don't you just lift your hands up and start praising God? Stop praying in tongues. Come up, that boy gonna have a hard time trying to kiss you when you're gonna come up. How glory to God. Oh, Jesus. I mean, I want to tell you something, boy. It's like somebody throwing some cold water on your head. You can live clean. You're not for sale. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Young people, listen to me. You're not for sale. You can live clean. I'm not talking about being a prude. I'm not talking about being, but I'm talking about have respect for yourself like God's got respect for you. Is it this way? Is that way? No, it's God's way. So abundance in every area of our life is a sign to others that we serve a good God. See, overflow claims the entire person for God, but it is attained only through attention, diligence, and perseverance to God's will. Everything I do, I keep attention, I have diligence, I have perseverance. Let me say it again. Overflow claims the entire person for God, but is attained only through attention. It's attained only through diligence and perseverance to God's will. Me and Kathy are constantly praying in this ministry, Lord, anything hidden, let it be revealed. Let it be revealed. I don't know how many employees I got here. Jesus, a bunch of people. Lord God, I mean, we got a very high payroll because we have a lot of people working for it. So when you have a lot of people working, they may be somebody might be rude to you. We didn't mean to be rude to you. You know what I'm saying? And we may have to pay that price. We find out about it. We fix it. But so, what are you saying? We add attention to everything going on here. We have diligence and perseverance to make it work, to make it function properly. Because you see, this building, these places belong to God. I'm very funny about this place. If you notice that, I get mad at people drive on my grass. Why? That's not my grass. That's God's grass. This is God's place. I want it beautiful. Not to show off. Ain't got anything to do with that. It's his place. And I'm going to honor him in every area of my life. I tell my maintenance people, you see something painting, paint it. You ain't got to ask me to need paint. Go paint the thing. You see my point? We use excellence in everything we do because God has been excellent with me. He could have sent Gabriel to die for me and Gabriel would have done it, but he didn't. He gave me his most valuable source, which was his son, Jesus. You see my point? So what I'm saying is when you get into that overflow, it claims the entire person for God, but it's attained only through attention, through diligence and perseverance of God's will. See, willingness and obedience assures your enjoyment of your labor. Do you realize because I became willing and obedient that my son-in-law, who's probably in a television truck, and my daughter will have a better life than I did before I became willing and obedient? How do you know that? Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. And I'll just paraphrase. He says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. Now what for you know that both you and your seed may live. That you and your seed may live. That means when you are willing and obedient, your children will live better than you did. In every area. Because you didn't go this way, you didn't go that way, you went God's way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So everything I'm doing today, I not only do for Kathy, my wife, but I'm also doing for my son-in-law and my daughter. You see what I'm saying? And even their cats gonna live good. Because we're willing and obedient. I went to Jody's house not long ago. They were having like a little barbecue or something. So, and I was a little tired. I said, y'all, I'm gonna just go in that house and take me a nap. They said, okay, daddy, go ahead. So I just went in and I went into her bedroom and she had a little couch and chair in that bedroom. I sat there and all of a sudden the two cats came in. Now Jody's got three cats. She got two Jews and one Gentile. That's what I call them. Cause the two Jews, the Sammy and Minette, that's some high dollar cats. They just look at you like, huh? Then you got this other cat that was just a little alley cat that Jody came to, the thing came to the house for starving. Jody fed it and on a holiday, so that's how she got the name Holiday, and she controlled the whole party. So I went in there, and now watch this. Then cats are amazing. I didn't know that. I haven't really got that around them cats that much, you know. So I'm sitting there. All of a sudden, the two cats just jump up on Jody's little, I call it a coffee table, not really a coffee table, thing right in front of her couch. And the both of them just looked at me and went like this. And I watched them cats' eyes, and I saw they looked me up, and they looked me down. Then I realized they were thinking. I know what they were saying. He looks like Jody. Old Jody. They kept looking at me. So I reached out and touched, and they smiled, and they kind of smiled. But they studied me. I mean, they literally looked at my face. And I thought, what are they thinking? Then it dawned on me. Well, the only reason they're here, because I was willing and obedient. That my seed would be blessed. And then Jody blessed them by making them a part of her family. And they really are a part of the family. These cats are a part of the family. Because they're doing a hurricane last year. They flew with us. I had to get them a room. I am not lying. You should have seen them. We had a nice dinner. They have had to have a nice dinner. You should have seen these cats. I had to find a pet-friendly hotel. They were in the plane just looking on, meow. And man, we fed them, Jody and Ed fed them real good, and they were just in the room. Now, but I realized who was the boss that day. That was Holiday, the one that had no good bloodline. Because the two little ones, the real high-dollar cat, they were just sitting like this. We can't move, but Holiday was right in the middle. I take care of everything, don't worry about it. I made them an offer they couldn't refuse. They ain't going nowhere. I walked back in there and that Holiday was sitting on the couch in the blankets with just her head out. Like, you can see it on her face. I got everything in hand. Don't worry about it, man. Do what you got to do. They were at home because they were at home with Jody. Well, what I'm saying is when we became willing and obedient to accept the mercy and the grace and the favor and the financial and the physical and the spiritual parts of God in our life, it automatically transferred to our seed. And not only my seed, but also whatever you own, whatever your cats are. As a pastor to a church, when you begin to release it out to your family, they're your flock, that same anointing on you will come upon them. I tell people that come to church, you hang with me, I'll get you out of debt. I'll get you blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. Not just so you can have some money. No, so your children can be blessed. It makes no difference with color, nationality. And they don't, I don't care. I don't know what color you are till you tell me. I don't know. I don't deal with that. See, I hate to call a black man a black man. Let me put it on worldwide time. I hate that because it separates you. You're not a black man. You're not a white. You're a man. You created in the image of God. We need to quit separating all this mess. I don't like that. I know you're black. I know you're white. I know you're yellow. I know you're red. That ain't the issue. You are a man. You are a woman. You're not a fat woman. You're not a skinny woman. You are a woman. But it's amazing how we always want to put people in certain sections. Let me tell you how you get rid of racism. One generation. One. Just one. Don't tell them they're black. Don't tell them they're white. Don't tell them they're yellow. Don't tell them they're red. If you want me to prove it, go to any nursery and watch a little black baby, a little brown baby, a little red baby, a little white baby, a little yellow baby. They're all playing on the floor. They just look at each other. They spit all over each other. They don't care. They don't know until you tell them. Now, you should be proud of your culture. Don't misunderstand me.
But we need to erase this. So when they don't know, it doesn't make any difference anymore.
So when someone comes, when your daughter comes with somebody and you don't know what color is, whatever it might be. When Jody brought, I didn't like all of Jody's boyfriends. I guess not. One of them was so ugly. I'm sorry, Jody. His head looked like a hatchet. I mean, when he looked at you like this, he looked like a fish. I mean, he turned his head like he had a big head. But when he was, I said, my grandbaby, I don't want my grandbaby to look like he got hatchet heads. So I made it hard for him to be comfortable at my house. And nothing against the boy, but I couldn't if Jody would have given me a grandbaby. And I thought, Lord Jesus, can we put this back? No. But then Ed came over and they became friends and it worked out. It just worked out. And Jody thought, because I didn't know Ed as much as Jody knew Ed. But Jody loved Ed. Ed loved Jody. But Jesse didn't love Ed. Not, I didn't dislike him. I liked him. But I mean, so Jody thought that I would feel like she does. So she came with this. She said, Daddy, I know you're a good businessman. I want to give you a business opportunity. Would you like to lend Ed the money to buy a new car? Oh, I said, oh, that's what I live for. This is your boyfriend. You want me to lend him money to buy a new car? Are you crazy? But you see, in her mind, she thought, well, what's wrong with that? See, love doesn't know any boundaries. Love just covers it all, buddy. You see what I'm saying? And in actuality, in God's way, God would say, okay. So what are you saying? I'm saying overflow claims the entire person for God, but is attained only through attention, diligence, and perseverance to God's will. Willingness and obedience assures your enjoyment of your labor. Everything I do, I am going to prosper in it. Now, quit thinking money. That's only one small facet. I'm the only one in my family that made it to the 40s without a heart attack. And I'm proud of that. I'm not better than my, and now I'm in my 50s. You see what, now people say, well, what's when you had a heart attack? Well, I believe God for God to heal me. But I mean, Lord Jesus, my daddy had a major heart attack when he was 34, been disabled. My oldest brother's disabled. My youngest brother disabled heart. Never have had one. Thank God, give God glory. I mean, if I died today, I at least beat that record. But you know what? Kathy changed that. She wouldn't let him talk. She said, Daisy said, boy, just you don't slow down, you're going to die. She said, No, he's not. I didn't realize how much we talked death. Until we started talking life. No, I'm not going to go that way or this way. I'm going to go God's way. He said, well, long life would I satisfy you. A satisfied life. And show you my soundness, my salvation. I love what Kenneth Hagin said. He used to quote that all the time. He said, you know what the Bible said, with long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation. He said, if you ever hear that Kenneth Hagin died, he got satisfied. I've never forgotten that. Or you hearing what I'm saying? So when you understand this, then man never fulfills his destiny until he obeys. Buddy, you will not fill your destiny until you obey and become willing to receive. Now, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I can receive blessing. No, you can receive a little. But when it starts getting big, oh, Lord Jesus, when you, all of a sudden you're going to drive a Rolls Royce. Ooh, Jesus, what they going to say about that? Hear about that preacher driving that Rolls Royce over there, Lord. Look, I bet he's stealing all that money. Let me help some of the people in government here. There's a lot of things going wrong in some churches. You know, if a church, someone stands at the front of a church and don't allow anybody in except 10 to 12 people, they're telling you something. Anybody with common sense will say, let's go look over there. Because see, a church is for the public. Now, you can't cause problems and you can be told to leave, but I'm saying if they cut everybody out of a church except 10 to 12 people, they're telling you something is wrong. Yeah, yeah. So what you need to do is protect. I love Kathy's statement, what we expect, we inspect, or we lose respect. We protect our children, the children here at Covenant Church. We watch over them like white on rice. Why? Because they're innocent. And it's our responsibility to watch over them so no one will hurt. Because not everybody come to church is saved. Not everybody come to church is doing right. They may have another agenda in mind. But what happens is we're going to be for that child first. Not our reputation. We're going to protect that baby. Why? That's what we called to do. Because if your children ought to be safe at church, if any place in the world your children ought to be is safe, is at church. Don't you think so? That makes sense. But see, a lot of times what you expect, you never inspect, so you lose respect. You see what I'm saying? So when you understand, if you be willing and obedient, now when I walk in that, then a lot of problems that people have had, I haven't had because of that willingness and obedience to do what God said. I'll never forget the first time God asked me for $100. You know, we Christian and confirmed Catholic. You don't get no $100. Catholics give a dollar. Unless you're playing bingo, so, you know, get a little shot back here or something. I don't mean that. I'm not being arrogant. You know, I'll never forget the first time God asked me for $100. He said, give me $100. I said, Lord, Jesus. I said, that's all I got. He said, that's all I asked for. But I never thought of it like that. He said, now, if you don't want to give it, I said, I didn't say I didn't want to give it. I just want to think about it for a while. Lord Jesus, I'm going to have $100. I said, but that's all I got. He said, that's all I asked for. Little did I realize he wasn't trying to get something from me. He was trying to get me more than $100. He was trying to bless me. I had to learn to be willing and obedient. That was not an easy thing. I had to train myself. Now, let me say this. There can be no obedience without faith. And faith without obedience is nullified. They are necessary parts to each other. Let me say it again. There can be no obedience without faith. And faith without obedience is nullified. They are necessary parts of each other. They got to work together and link together. You don't have to understand it all. You don't have to understand everything. But you need to receive. There's a lot of things I do in life I don't understand. There's some things that Pastor Michael Mealy, a lot of things that I do as the Spirit of God guides me. I didn't hear a voice. Now, I would prefer for God to say, Jesse, spend that $1 million on TV. But all of a sudden, I get a witness. You know, your song, Can I Get a Witness? Mm-hmm, Lord. But sometimes, I don't want to hear the witness. I'll tell you a true story. I went to a church one time. I knew they were all devils from hell, every one of them. I knew it. Michael, I knew it. Why? Because I got picked up at an airport. Never met this preacher before in my life. He said, Reverend DePlantis, I heard that you could bring joy to my church. This is years ago. I said, well, thank you. I said, we came under the direction. And I should have said a friend. Because a very famous preacher asked him if I'd go down there. He said, if anybody can help these people, you can. So I went without praying about it. It wasn't 2 minutes in the car coming out the thing. He said, Brother Jesse, I want you to beat them people. I hate them people. Beat them. Beat them. I hate every one of them. Blankety blank. No good trashy blanks. Now y'all fill in the blanks. I said, I can't believe this. Now I had about a 42-mile trip to the church. I thought, oh God. He said, you should have prayed to me. I said, Jesus, love of my soul, Jesus, get me out of this hole, Jesus. When I got there, there were two deacons fighting in the parking lot. I'm talking blood. There was a woman pulling a church pew out. She said, I bought this pew. I'm going to put it in my trailer. How you put a pew in a trailer? I am not lying. I thought, my God. He said, beat him. I hate him. I called Kathy. Remember that call? I said, Kathy, a fight in the parking lot. A woman trying to get a pew in her trailer. How's she going to put it in a trailer? I don't know how she's going to put it in a trailer, Kathy. Why did you go? Didn't you pray? Shut up, woman. I don't want to talk to you about that. Lord, yeah. You see, I went that way instead of this way. I should have went God's way. So Sunday morning, this place seats 1,600 people. It was 45 people there. I walk behind that pulpit. God is my witness. I said this. Oh, let them all go to hell, Jesus. Let's just get out of here and go home. They ain't worth saving anyway, bunch of crazy people. I didn't have no anointing. I didn't want to be there. And when you get around people backslid, you want to backslide yourself. I thought about words to say that I hadn't said in years. Because that's the only way I could express what I was feeling. I walked back to that pulpit. I said, I'm going to preach a Milky Way sermon. I'm going to preach the milk and away I'll go. I'm out of here. I was going to preach Psalms 23. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me to lie down and get out of here. See y'all later. I'm gone. And prophecy, the spirit of prophecy came upon me, hit me. Not to me receiving it. God just overrode my will. I prophesied for 45 minutes, spit flying. I could hear myself, wow, Jesse. And all of us said, now who ought to get saved? And the pastor jumps up and says, I do. God is my will. And his wife said, I do. And 45 of them people stood up and said, we do. We've been fighting and hating each other. All 45 came and gave their life to God on Sunday morning. The whole church, all 45 of them. It changed that church around. Church was running about 1,000 now. Changed that church around. They said, but just we want you to come back. I said, I'll call you. I lied like a dog. I ain't called him since. You see, I was arguing with God. This ain't going to work. Let me say it again. There can be no obedience without faith, and faith without obedience is nullified. Arguing about faith instead of agreeing with faith is a waste of spiritual energy. Now, let me close with this. I know I'm going long here. Arguing about faith instead of agreeing with faith is a waste of spiritual energy. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. I realized the reason why I want to get out of that, because I didn't love them people. That I had a deficiency in love. I did not love them. See, you don't have to know someone to love them. To love is to obey. And the measure of obedience is a degree of affection. I didn't love them people, so I had no degree of affection for them. But I should have went in there and went like Jesus over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, I wish I could gather you. But you wouldn't let me. The only reason there's a problem in church is a lack of love somewhere, in some way, shape, or form. See, let me say again, to love is to obey. And the measure of obedience is the degree of affection. And when you understand it, it's either this way, that way, or God's way. If you be willing and obedient, then I realize that every time I've sinned and disobeyed God, it's because I didn't act in the love that I should have had. I love God, but I want my own way. Well, love in its purest form, you'll give some person their way. Not my will, but thine be done. That's love talking. That's love saying, I'll do this. Perfect love casts that out fear. It has to be cast out. It will not leave by itself. You got to grab that boy and throw him out your life. You hear what I'm saying? Let me say this in close. There is no happiness like the happiness of willingness and obedience. I think I got people mad at me all over the world because I'm happy. You'd be surprised. I've had some people say, I can't wait till you get in trouble. They told it to my face. One day, it's coming. You're going to get one. You're going to get yours. I said, I already got it. That's why I'm happy. I remember believing God when the Lord spoke to me. I was driving on Highway 167, going to Opelousas, Louisiana, 1978. I didn't have enough money to fill up a Toyota, and it sipped gas. And I drove past that Lafayette Airport. As I was driving there, Michael, the Lord said, look up. I looked up and a jet flew over my head. I couldn't even afford a Toyota. And the Lord spoke to me, says, I'm going to give you a jet. I said, what? A jet? First thing I thought of, I'm going to buy the gas for that. I can't even buy the gas for a Toyota. I'm going to buy the gas for a jet. See, what is that? That's fear. God, who can do anything, just said he's going to do something. The first thing I present to him is fear. You can't do that. How am I going to do that? But you know, I got excited about it because I was a baby Christian. I stopped at this pastor's house. I said, you ain't going to believe what the Lord said to me. He said, what? I said, the Lord said he's going to give me a jet. I was right. He didn't believe it. He said, Jesse, that's stupid. You can't even fill up a Toyota. How you going to fill up a jet? You see, he had the same problem. How are we going to get enough gas to fill up a jet? I had a man ask me that last night, how much does that jet burn? I said, I don't have the foggiest idea. I don't know. That ain't my business. My business is to fly it. But I'll tell you what, that FBO knows how much it is. When they see me, they go, how you doing, River? Because it's thousands and thousands of gallons of fuel we buy every month. Lord Jesus, a bunch of it. Just last week, we bought 3,000 gallons at $3 or $4 a pop. You figure it out 1 week. But I God ain't going to give you a plane if you can't afford to fly it. He ain't gonna give you a car if you can't. It's like you're going to buy a car. So does it have an engine? Yeah. Do you have one without an engine? Why that? Because, you know, we can't afford to buy the gas. So we want one without an engine. So we can take pictures in it when people walk, you know. That's the craziest thing I've heard of my life. Is it this way? Is it that way? Or is it God's way? So when the Lord told me, stop believing for the unbelievable. And one of the biggest things is what you're sitting in today. When the Lord said, I wouldn't do it. I was in disobedience. You know why this church is here today? Kathy Duplantis. The Lord said, build a church. I said, listen, God, listen. I ain't no pastor. I can't pastor nobody. He said, I didn't ask you to pastor. Did I ask you to pastor? I said, no. He said, I'll send you a pastor. And I'm talking to David Sostrand. He said, Jesse, if you ever decide to build a church, I'd love to be considered. I thought, you got the job. Because I ain't consider it. But since you consider it, you can have it. That's exactly what I... And that man and his wife moved here, didn't know how much money going to make, just moved there. He said, what do you want me to do? I said, I don't have the foggiest idea. God knows and Kathy knows. And the more I talk to Betty, Betty knows. The more I talk to David, I still talk to Betty. Because I know what he's going to say. What about that, Betty? And Betty said, this is how we do it. They said, that's exactly what I said, Jesse. I understand that because I do the same thing. And Kathy gets mad at me. Why didn't you tell him that I'm the one that said that? I said, I forgot. She said, you did it on purpose. I said, don't assume something like that. I didn't say I. How do you know I did it on purpose? I could tell by your eyes. You lying. I said, as long as they got the point. Who cares who gets the credit? She says, I do. I'll never forget one time I asked David about something. I said, how many people? He goes, oh, there was at least this much. Betty goes, yeah. He said, how much was it, Betty? Betty said, he said, that's exactly what I said, Brother Jesse. And me, I believed it. I went, okay, Buster. That's why God gave us wives. That's why they live longer than husbands. Because my God, man, if a woman died first, a man, he don't know what to do. He can't even find his shoes. Is that the truth? Have you ever looked at the obituary? Some of the funniest thing you ever read. Funniest thing you ever seen. I mean, wife, 104. I mean, the wife has to just do it. They just seem to handle things. And they call themselves the weaker sex. That's a lie from hell. You can say anything you want about somebody's daddy, but you better not say nothing about somebody's mama. You can say, I don't like your daddy. I don't like him neither. But you better say nothing about nobody's mama. You mess with my mama, I'll kill you. That's my mama. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. But I know why they do that. I know why they got that power. They tell that to them babies because they got them babies inside of them. And they tell them, I carried you in my body for 9 months. You almost killed me. I want you to know that. Your daddy didn't want you, but I prayed for you. Okay, Baba. Okay, Baba. It's the truth, man. You can ask your kids. They say, go ask daddy. They say, no, daddy, ask mama. Even the daddy says that. Hey, daddy, can I go to Harry's house? He get that dumb look on his face. I'll ask your mama. Isn't that amazing? Even Jesus did it on the cross. I was really a little disappointed. I was a little disappointed. I have to be honest. I talked to Jesus about it. I said, you could have said, on the last, he's on the cross. He could have said, hey, tell Joe, thank you. I mean, Joseph taught him a trade, made him a carpenter. I mean, Joseph took the ball in the house. You understand? Tell Joe. Tell him, thank you. He took care of him. He paid the light bill. Thank you, Joe. Nothing. Nothing. Take care of my mama. Whatever happened to Joe? Who knows? Maybe a donkey ate him. I don't know. Nobody know what happened to Joe. What happened to Joe? You have no idea what happened to Joe? Poor guy. It's the truth. Take care of my mama. They could at least even call him Saint Joe. Something. Whatever happened to Joe? We don't know. But you know where Mary is. They even tell you, if you're Catholic, now you pray to Mary because, and Mary will pray to him because he can't tell his mama no. If I tell the truth, oh, Jesus help me. I mean, we ain't got a chance. I mean, have you ever been in the Catholic Church? You say, oh, St. Joseph. No, don't ask him nothing. Ain't nobody listening to him. Talk to Mary. Mary is the one you want. Mary. Hail Mary. You know, Hail Mary full of grace. Where's Joe? We don't know where Joe is. Just talk to Hail Mary. Is that the truth? I just kind of notice those kind of things. It's this way, that way, or God's way. Now I'm going to just be point blank blunt, and this is my last closing. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. So if you see somebody eating the good of the land, I'm not talking being greedy, you can say, they must be willing and obedient. Look at that. Look what God is doing for those people.